The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Morning Answer would like to know what you're thinking. Leave us a message on our 24-hour comment line, 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843.
Hello, Jennifer and Grant, you guys. I love you guys. You are always, I'm part of your 6 o'clock club, and I love what you're doing. Thanks for the good job.
It's The Morning Answer.
How nice is that? Thanks for joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield. And Jen, you know, I was thinking about what you were saying about, is this a hate crime or not? And whatever you want to say about hate crimes or this, the end result is you can charge the criminal, you know, obviously this one.
Criminal dead. Yeah.
But you can charge a criminal whatever you want. But in the end, was this an attack on Christians? Right? So that's what I'm thinking here. So one is Joe Biden's response, because it's Christians. You know, he just he claims to be a Catholic, but he's nothing close.
Well, this is part of the reason why you say it's going to go away from the mainstream media. And I agree with you. It's an attack on Christians by a transgender person.
But, and that's the thing, right? So when you think of a 30-year-old transgender, the Christian community is the one that's probably the most outspoken about why this is turning your back on God, to going down this very unnatural way of maiming your body, defaming it, defiling it, and the rest. Was this person so upset and they decided, you know what, I'm going to carry out an attack on Christians and really hurt them. I'll carry out an attack on Christian children. We may never know the answer to that question. But this is why, Jen, as you mentioned, this is why it'll disappear from the mainstream media.
Well, and it also was revealed by police. Remember, this person, Audrey Hale, 28 years old, a biological female. She was identifying as a male. She was identifying as he, him, and her name was Aiden, something like that. That's what she was going by. But authorities have said that she was upset that she was forced to go to that school or something like that. So that tells you along the line what she was thinking. There's a manifesto which hopefully will probably shed more light on what else was going on. We know she was targeting two schools. We don't know if she went to both of those schools. We do know she went to Covenant School, which was attacked yesterday. If you're just kind of waking up and tuning in, 6 people are dead, 3 adults and 3 children, after a mid-morning, around noontime, I guess, local time, attack at this elementary school, kindergarten through 6th grade, I believe, Covenant Christian. The attacker was, a female who had guns. She shot through a door. That's how she was able to gain entry, went in through the church and into the school, which apparently were connected. Police officers arrived quickly. They were able to neutralize her 14 minutes from the first 911 call. 855-785-8255. I think it is worth noting whether or not this was targeted to Christians. There have been pictures on social media that we haven't really gone into, Grant, because I don't know for sure if they are legitimate. But if they are, they would show she's pretty active, Audrey Hale, on social media, protesting against the new rule in Tennessee about limiting transgender transitioning surgeries for young people, which just passed through maybe a month ago in Tennessee, pretty recent. Authorities are still looking for answers as to what was the motivation, but surveillance camera footage has now been released along with body camera footage. And according to an interview that was done, and Dan, if we could try to get some audio from this, the Metropolitan Nashville Police Chief John Drake was on Good Morning America today and said that they haven't been able to determine a motive yet, but that the investigation is still ongoing, but that there was a report that this had something to do specifically with that school, or feeling some resentment towards the school.
You know, I'm watching the body cam footage as you're talking, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
These men are absolute heroes.
They're heroes.
Now, you think about Uvalde. This shooter in Nashville had 2 AR-15-style rifles. One was a pistol-style AR-15. One was a rifle-style AR-15, and then a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, Uvalde said, oh, we couldn't go in because they had an AR-15. These 5 guys rush in there, and what happens? They shoot this person almost instantly. Now, they're going through the school, clearing the school, and it's just unbelievable to watch these men in action.
They were ready. They were ready to go in. And that was the I think it was interesting to see John Drake, who's the police chief in Nashville, talk about that yesterday, saying that they had, as a department, a conversation after Uvalde and said, this will never happen here, where babies are getting killed while we stand outside. And it was clear that every man and woman on that force, and these happened to all be men yesterday, I believe, had made the decision that they were going in. They went in and they took down the shooter as quickly as could be done. The only thing that would have made this go away sooner is if they had an armed member of law enforcement or a security guard or something on the campus. Yeah, the only thing that would have been faster.
The body cam is 6 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is how long they go. And they go clearing from room to room to room, then upstairs, then around the balcony into an area.
That was kind of her perch. She was in there.
Where it was like a perch. It looks like a rest area. Very church-like with the windows where she was killed. But it is amazing that these people sprung into action the way they did. It's just really something else to watch.
So she had the two assault-style rifles, as you mentioned. One was a pistol, you said, you think.
Yeah,
right?
I heard the police chief say it was an AR-style fifth pistol.
And then she had a handgun. Investigators have also confirmed that in her home, they seized a sawed-off shotgun, a second shotgun, and other evidence, according to police. 14 minutes from the time the 911 call came in is how long it took for them to get up and neutralize the shooter in the lobby of the second floor.
And I will tell you that 14 minutes is a tremendous amount of time.
It is, especially if you're in an emergency. But considering what went on in Uvalde and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, I mean, response time pretty significant.
Right, absolutely.
According to the police chief on Good Morning America this morning, he said they do have the writings and a book they consider to be like a manifesto. They said that they have the map of the school where it was diagrammed how she would enter and how she would proceed to take out potential victims. There's also speculation that the shooter did reach out to a friend and other people, but they say right now that's unconfirmed, although one girl came forward and said she got an Instagram message from Audrey Hale before the shooting started. And we'll continue to hear more from the police as we learn more today. All right. Want to tell you about our friends over at Midas Gold Group, because Grant, now is a time when there's a lot of uncertainty in the market. And there's also a real concern that our economy might start to fail, right? We're already seeing those indications. Almost every economist believes we're in a recession or headed towards one.
Yeah.
And so gold gives you real currency. If things really start to fail, if there's an emergency situation, you hold your gold and you can use that as currency. So not only does it add some stability to your investment portfolio, but it also gives you something real that you can use if things go south.
It sure does. It provides that stability and safety that the stock market can't provide, that cash can't provide. Owning a physical commodity like gold is really the only way to protect yourself against total calamity when it comes to your finances and an overreaching government. So I'd urge you to give the folks over at Midas Gold Group a call, 805-601-6000, 805-601-6000. I would recommend them to my family and friends in a heartbeat because I trust them. I've talked to them. We've had dinner with them on multiple occasions. These are good people. There's a lot of gold companies out there. What are the ones you can trust? Midas Gold Group is. I promise you that. 805-601-6000, MidasGoldGroup.com.
All right. We'll get your thoughts on the shooting, the response from the Biden White House, the idea that this could be a hate-driven attack, plus some condolences from local pastors, all as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Canceling the cancel culture. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And hand-drawn maps of the school with detailed entry points were located at the residence of the Nashville school shooter, Audrey Hale. A LinkedIn profile and personal website that appeared to be affiliated with her describe her as a graphic designer who creates logos for businesses. She graduated from Nosy College of Art with a degree in illustration and graphic design last year, according to LinkedIn. The Covenant School, which started back in 2001, caters to preschool through sixth grade students and is southwest of downtown Nashville. It appears that at some point during her history, Audrey Hale attended that elementary school and grew, I guess, some resentment towards it. She is a transgender person, again, identifying as a male. Was she targeting Christians on purpose? These are all parts of the conversation. 855-785-8255. This morning on Good Morning America, the police chief in Nashville, Chief Drake, talked about the shooter and about the shooting.
We have not been able to determine a motive as of yet. The investigation is very much still ongoing. We do have writings in a book we consider to be like a manifesto. We do have a map of the schools where it was diagrammed how she would enter and how she might proceed to take on potential victims. We'll have more communications. We've been to the house on Brightwood. We recovered more firearms at that house. We'll continue picking up what we left off yesterday.
I want to tell you, Jen, I am convinced that these officers save lives. I've been going through this body cam footage now. It's about 6 minutes long. Mm-hmm. There's at least two different body cams that I see. They are going through clearing this school one by one. They've got to go up the stairs. But remember, they've got to clear every classroom they're going to. The fire alarm is going off. I'd like to ask the police chief, how did the fire alarm go off? Was it from the discharge of her firearm that maybe set off a smoke detector?
Or did she set it off?
The shooter that set it off, that would literally do that to get people to run out of the classroom.
Because
right?
She was in that perch, remember? She was in that spot pointing down. So it makes you wonder if she did intentionally set it off.
She could have. It's an interesting spot. It's like a landing. There's a couch and chairs up on this landing with a big giant window that looks like a church window you might see in a second floor of a church. Big. Mm-hmm. And a very bright open area with a giant staircase that goes down, a very circular staircase, one you almost might see in a museum type style where it circular, it goes down, very big, very open. You could see the first floor from above. Easy to pick people off if that's what she was trying to do from there. It's interesting. I didn't see where the victims were. I don't know if they're on the first floor or not from where she was. But these officers did a hell of a job, and one of them had an AR-15-style rifle with him. That's the first thing. You see him get it right out of the trunk. This is why so many duty officers need to be trained in these long guns. You never know when you're going to need it. But the officers use him to move him forward as the group's clearing the school. Moving him forward, the gentleman with the long gun, and he gets a sight on her. It's got to be 30, 40 yards. But remember, he's got a sight on it, which allows him to take her out. She's still moving. Mm-hmm. The officer with a handgun then basically neutralizes the threat for good.
Now, on that police response that I know you just watched, the Nashville Police Chief Drake just spoke to Good Morning America about that.
We've all been through that training. I've gone through that training myself. And the very first time I went through it, I told someone that I would get killed or injured. Our officers feel the same way. They trained for that. And this moment happened, and they didn't hesitate at all. They responded, immediately went inside, knew the danger that was going on. Shots were being fired at the police cars. That did not deter them. They went anyway inside. And really, we could have been talking about a lot more casualties than what we have. It's a very unfortunate, the six victims, but we could be talking about a very high number. I want to praise the men and women of our department, especially the two officers who put their lives at risk, not thinking about their own safety and just thinking about the safety of those inside that school.
You know, watching the tape, Jen, and I know the chief is very well-intentioned with his thing. There were more than two officers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not criticizing the chief in it. It was two officers that pulled the trigger, one with a handgun, one with the rifle. I believe the rifle officer is the one that really neutralized the threat and took that threat to the ground. But along the way, there's about six, I'm not going to have the exact number, other officers who are right there, and they're moving up the stairs and through the area. I mean, they all are putting their lives on the line just the same way the ones who finally pulled the trigger did. And there's really no difference between any of them other than the two who actually pulled the trigger. And the other officers basically set it up so they could be the ones to pull the trigger.
Kind of advancing them, as you said, advancing them forward.
Yes.
All right, so let's take some of your reaction to this. 855-785-8255. A lot of people holding on. Aaron in Los Angeles, we'll start with you. You're on The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, thank you so much for addressing this issue, you know, with such sensitivity. It's so sad for these poor children and the school. And, of course, the heroes are the men and women in uniform. I want to point out, and here's my concern about the next level of reporting that's happening as they discuss the manifesto, et cetera. 2%, this is a statistic, you can look it up, it's verifiable. Less than 2% of mass shooters are women. It is over 98% that it is men. Now, what happened in this situation is, like, I don't know, but I'm going to just make the assumption that it's not just that there's a preferred pronoun happening here, but there may be a transition therapy of some sort, maybe an injection of testosterone or various hormones. And it is very much a known side effect of roid rage and various kinds of reactions that the body may have to these therapies.
And this is exactly what we just talked about in the last hour. If she was already mentally ill, and then if she was already, I mean, I'm very curious to know, like you, if she had already gone down the road of injecting hormones, and actually it wasn't even the last hour, it was 2 hours ago. If you mix the mental illness with then the extreme hormone shifts and all of that, it can launch you into dark, terrible places. I'm very interested to know that piece of this.
And you combine it with, as you guys have pointed out, there may have been some resentment by having, you know, some sort of Christian education or whatnot, where it's just sort of laid out, you know, her own discomfort with her, you know, with her body, and compared in all of these factors together. But the problem is, it's how it's going to be reported, because if we don't address that issue, if we focus on, you know, I wasn't born into a gun culture. I'm obviously pro Second Amendment, but to focus on the guns, to focus on not what this individual has gone through and what is happening in this country with these therapies, where we're not really thinking about the long-term impact on individuals. We're not looking at the context. We're not looking at how they're being brought up, and we're just injecting these hormones in a very thoughtless and careless way. And it has to be addressed, because look at what's happened. This is a disaster on all fronts.
Let me just say this, though, and so we keep a little bit of a level head. Is it totally bizarre for me that someone wants to go through this kind of a process and transition themselves this way? It's totally bizarre. But I will tell you, there are people that use testosterone treatments all day long. Millions of them, like me. You don't snap and go shoot up kids.
No, but hormonal shifts is what I'm saying. If you've already got mental illness and then you've got a dose of, like, craziness.
I get it. I have a feeling we're not going to see an outbreak of transgenders going on mass shootings. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I think this is a one-off. I think it's bizarre. And I think this person is violent. And so that's the thing. Did the testosterone set her off? I don't know. Who knows? But I don't think you're going to see this outbreak of transgenders. This is the same argument I go down the path of video games don't make kids into mass shooters.
Yeah.
Okay,
you never know what the blend is for somebody who snaps. You know, and it can be.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's just the thing, is that we just don't know. And plus, all of this gender transitioning is still relatively new in mass, and we're still learning about it. We've got to figure out what the real effects are. I think, Aaron, thanks so much for the phone call. All right, 855-785-8255. We'll continue getting your reaction on this. We also have some audio. President Trump talking about what could be a looming indictment from the DA in Manhattan. All of that as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
The radical left Democrat Party, they're against God, guns, oil, law enforcement, voter ID, tax cuts, regulation cuts, the Constitution, and they're against our founding fathers. Other than that, actually, they're quite good.
It's The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us Tuesday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And we are going to hear about President Trump here in just a few moments, because Grant has a fun story to share. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, the surveillance camera, the body camera footage has come out with the police from the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department. So you've got surveillance footage from the school and from the church that's been released. Now the body cam footage is out. I just watched a few moments, and you nailed it. I know you watched all of them. Grant, you watched all over 6 minutes of it. And these guys are heroes. The way that they moved. They were coordinated. You couldn't ask really for a better response from these officers on the scene.
You couldn't. They're really amazing. They're heroic. You could tell they have gone through the training, as opposed to the Uvalde officers, who did the complete opposite of what these officers did. And you think about how many kids died in Uvalde compared to how many kids and adults died in Nashville. So swift action saves lives. You know, you heard the police chief just last segment say these officers are ready to go in and be killed or be injured. The only place I disagree with that is I think the officers are fully ready to go in and be killed. I don't think when it comes to police officers and members of our military, they ever contemplate the idea of a debilitating injury.
That's right.
They're fully prepared to die, but they don't and are not prepared to have a spinal injury or lose their limbs or be paralyzed from the waist down. They're not prepared for that, but they are prepared to die. But yet they still move forward. That's what these men and women did. I want every Black Lives Matter goon to watch the video of these men spring into action.
And saving lives while they did it. Saving and by lives. The way, the two officers who ended up pulling the trigger, one with the AR-15 style rifle, the other with the handgun, officers Rex Engelbert and Michael Colazzo, they've been identified. They don't look much older than the shooter, if at all. I mean, these look like two young men. They've put their pictures up. One of them, actually, we've got ages on him. One of them is younger than the shooter. One of them, Officer Engelbert, is 27 years old, 4-year veteran of the force. Officer Colazzo, a 9-year veteran of the force, so probably about the same age as the shooter. Imagine that. The shooter, 28 years old, Audrey Hale was her name. All right, let's take a few of your phone calls and reaction. A lot of people holding on to talk about this. It's one of those days where it's a little cathartic to kind of let out some of your initial emotions and comment on people's reactions. Sharon in the San Fernando Valley, you're up next on The Morning Answer. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Jen and Grant. I just called to make the comment. Immediately, the Biden administration and the woke liberals all jumped to gun control, and nobody had any information, and blood was still on the floor. But, mm-hmm. you know, the more we find out, it's always a wait and see, but the more we find out, I think the less questions there's going to be, because they don't want us to ask questions about this transgender movement that we've now moved to tolerate and accept and include. Years ago, and I can remember this because I'm old, and I don't think you have to be that old, this was considered a mental illness. And I don't know if these guns were obtained legally, but if this was so classified as a mental illness, then this person would have never been able to obtain legal weapons. And this is what they don't want you to focus on. They want this to be a gun control issue, but they don't want you to focus on how their method and their movement towards gun control, taking guns away from legal, innocent, honorable citizens who don't commit crimes, as Grant pointed out, that is, that they don't want you to know that this mental illness would have prevented this person from getting legal weapons. And I find that extraordinary. It's just unbelievable.
This is a brilliant move to put the left on their heels, is to say, okay, when we take guns away from the mentally ill, let's label transgenderism as mentally ill, and can we take the guns away from them? And they will argue that you can't, but now you're going to put the left on the platform of having to argue for someone's rights to keep guns rather than having them argue that they're not mentally ill. It's really a brilliant move.
In fact, Sharon, I'd listen to Real America's Voice today around 4 o'clock because I just saw Grant writing down what you said. So
it's 100%.
Welcome to the party. You'll be featured tonight on Real America's Voice. Sharon, really good point. Thank you so much for the phone call. And doesn't it always, though, boil back to mental illness? Whenever we're talking about the shootings,
do you see,
always
Jen,
does.
That I don't just steal the ideas from you.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Look, this is a collaboration.
Fully a good idea. I'm fully willing to steal from anyone.
From anyone. I'll take it from anywhere. All right, Bill in Malibu, let's see if you make the show tonight. Hi, Bill.
Morning.
Hi.
You know, they interviewed this idiot Democrat representative, Bob Freeman, in Tennessee.
I saw it.
And he was asked, whether the fact that the shooter bypassed schools with armed guards would bring trouble to the place where she finally did the shooting. And his comment was, well, the answer to guns is not more guns. Unfortunately, that is precisely the answer. Mm-hmm. Because it was people with guns that ended this problem.
That's exactly so right.
It wasn't a safety ambassador at school.
That's right. It was not a safety ambassador. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this transgender shooter, Audrey, gives new meaning to the word dead name.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Because
I don't even know if we can make jokes about that, but I appreciate the effort. We all need a little bit of something, I guess. All right, Bill, thanks so much for the phone call. Glenn in Phoenix, you're up next. Hi, Glenn.
Yeah, so what I hope this does is it spotlights the heroism of some officers. These two men are heroes. Heroism, being heroic, is action. People are heroes because they do something. And this is what I'm hoping is in dire contrast to Uvalde, that just being a police officer doesn't make you a hero. There are things that in this course of what these two officers did, they did something that was heroic, and they should be applauded. They should be put on a pedestal for what they did. And in similar contrast, Uvalde, those officers should be shamed for their inaction. And this is an instance where people know that when I call, I'm not a huge supporter of the police, but I'm willing to say this. These two men are heroes, and they need to be praised for what they did. And I believe that with all my heart.
Well, there you go, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so
much. Good
job. All right.
Maybe he's been learning listening to this program a little bit.
I think so. I think it's we've rubbed off.
Sinking in on him.
Yeah. 855-785-8255. All right. As we continue, yesterday, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg had a surprise witness for the grand jury. We'll tell you about that, President Trump's reaction, as well as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I want everybody to go home.
We don't got no home. Okay. That's why we're here.
It's The Morning Answer.
For joining us on your Tuesday Morning Answer, I'm Jennifer Horn.
Hi, everybody. Grant Stinchfield.
Are you okay?
Jen Horn on the way, I take it.
Why can't you?
855-785.
Can you cut Grant's microphone? Why can't he hear us?
I can't hear you. I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
I can now.
Well, now you're responding to me. Okay.
Okay.
I was already introing, and you started going, hey, everybody.
Well,
Dan, can you explain what's happening here?
Would you like to come on and explain why Jen should not be yelling at Grant?
Oh, I wasn't yelling.
Okay.
I can explain what happened.
Yeah.
I hit the wrong button instead of the mic. Okay. The button to turn your mics on.
All right, Dan, yeah. I want you to go put yourself in the corner for 4 minutes and let Hot Chocolate Jose run the board now, okay?
Exactly.
All right, I can do that.
Please have a seat and
be quiet. Thank you.
Well, very odd when I couldn't hear you, so I didn't think it was going out over air, so I figured I would.
You know what was cute is that I said, I'm Jennifer Horn, and then it was like silence, and then you're like, and I'm Grant Stinchfield. I'm like, are you okay over there? And you're like, and I don't know where Jennifer Horn is, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what? Sometimes we just have these issues, guys. And you know what? It's radio. It's not brain surgery. Now, if we made a mistake like that and we had like a little, you know, like knife in the old bod, you wouldn't want that. But for radio, we're doing fine.
Right. No big deal.
Yesterday, the Manhattan DA brought in the publisher of one of my favorite publications, the National Enquirer. I jest, by the way. And that person comes in to testify for the grand jury. Remember the story a while ago that they're talking about hush money. Michael Cohen like laundered the money through the National Enquirer allegedly to get to Stormy Daniels. So apparently,
can I just tell you a quick National Enquirer story?
Yes, please.
My great uncle, Generoso Pope. Generoso Pope founded the National Enquirer.
No way, really?
Yes.
That's pretty
cool.
And
was quite the media mogul. Now, he's really on the other side of the family. I didn't know him very well, Italian side. But there's a big fight going on right now. And the reason this reminded me of it is it was in the New York Post yesterday that my cousin is accused of bilking $20 million from the Generoso Pope Foundation and cutting his sisters out.
Uh-oh.
Cutting his sisters and my cousins. This is literally my two cousins, second cousins, but you know, went to school with him.
Yeah.
And the mom's happy, fired the mom. He was using the The allegations are he was using the Generoso Pope Foundation as his own piggy bank.
I'm telling you, sometimes this money, it just kills people's family. You know, it's terrible.
He was a bully, actually. In grade school. Yeah, he was a bully.
Okay, so yesterday, and then I want you to tell your story because you just got back from Florida, from Mar-a-Lago. But yesterday, Donald Trump was on Sean Hannity's show for like the first time in a year. Remember when he used to live on Hannity's show? Like, I think that's where his residence was. Not anymore, but he did an interview. And one of the topics was about the tweet that Donald Trump sent out about death and destruction if there is an indictment of him. Take a listen.
So all this information that came out in your favor, you talked about death and destruction. And then you, the baseball bat picture next to Alvin Bragg, and you did take that down. And my only question is, why open yourself up to criticism?
You have to understand that when the story was put up, I put up a story. We didn't see pictures. We put up a story that was very exculpatory, very good story from the standpoint of what we're talking about. And they put up a picture of me. And you know where I was holding the baseball bat? It was at the White House. Make America, buy America, because they did a lot of buy America things. And this is a company that makes baseball bats. Then they put next to that picture a picture of Alvin Bragg. I didn't do it. They did it. I guess the people that do the paper or somebody put pictures together. But I was holding a baseball bat in order to promote Made in America.
It wasn't on your post at Truth Social?
No. What they did is we posted the story, but they had a picture up. They then put a picture up. Or the picture was put up that nobody noticed or saw, or that nobody thought was bad. These were two separate pictures. I was promoting Made in America. You make these baseball bats instead of sending over to Japan and China and all other places where they're made. This was a company, good company, that makes baseball bats and other things like that in America. They took that picture from the White House and they put it up, and then they put a picture of Alvin Bragg up. I will say this with death and destruction.
Yeah,
I didn't say death and destruction. I said
the possibility.
You're going
to
stop
the possibility
it there?
Of death and destruction. Yeah, but so let me explain to you what's happening here. So Truth Social goes up a tweet from President Trump with the picture of him with a baseball bat. Next to him is Alvin Bragg. It sure looks like it's President Trump's picture that he edited together. Somebody on his team edited. It looks like this. What President Trump is now saying is that that picture was part of the article
that he was posting.
And that somebody had changed the picture. So now this would be very interesting if you could do this. So say I post a picture of an article on AM 870 and it's got a picture of Jen and me. But we have a real jerk back at the station and they say, okay, well, they want to make Grant a clown face. And after I've posted the article, could you change the main picture on the AM 870 website or in this case, the New York Post website or whatever? And then does the tweet come up with the new picture? Right?
He's out of punishment.
Maybe. So, and if that's the case, then they change the picture so it looks like violence. Now, President Trump is also explaining why he held a baseball bat. He's not saying he was promoting American in that post.
Right.
He's saying I was holding a baseball bat when I took the picture.
4 years ago at the White House.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dan, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, hopefully I can shed a little light on this. I'll peel back the curtain. I do some of the social media for the station, and what happens is whatever photo is linked to the article will show
up
on the post. So I actually went to nationallife.com and found the article, and that's the leading photo. So when he posted that to True Social, the standard stock photo that came up was the one tied to that story, and that was the photo that's up
there. So it wasn't a dunce move.
All right, so interestingly enough, was that the original photo? See, this is what I want to know. Was the original photo when President Trump looked at it just a picture of him and Alvin Bragg?
Right.
And then the site can then change the photo so it makes it look like he tweeted a photo.
Correct.
Of, you see what I mean?
This could be interesting.
This is the devious nature. Now, Dan the phone man, are you on his True Social right now?
I'm not on his True Social now, but I have seen the photo.
Okay, do you notice what is right before that post on his Truth Social?
Please tell us.
It is my interview with Alan Dershowitz, and the president retruthed it.
It's pretty cool.
And we were going off on how out of line, Alvin Bragg is, and I really do fear that my interview with Dersh may have fired up the president. Dan the phone man, I see you smiling.
Yeah, so I just wanted to do a bit of an experiment, and I went to our social media to link that photo, and if I were to do that, that photo would come up too. It is something that I do, I'm aware of, because sometimes like the standard photo for the stories will be something I'm like, I don't know if we want this tweeted out. So it's not something you necessarily think about all the time, but yeah, whatever that top photo is, so if it's like a Hunter Biden story, I've had this happen where there's some very lewd images, I'm like, well, let me not tweet this story out because that's going to be the photo. So,
boy, yeah, it sure makes sense what the president is saying.
It would be a lot better explanation than, you know, the
You want to play the end of the yeah. possibility so, because he well, did no, talk about violence, which wasn't the greatest way to phrase it. And oh, we're at the
yeah,
out
we're
time,
out of time.
Aren't we?
All so right, maybe tomorrow.
Let's break into it tomorrow.
Hey, I do want to tell you, though, one more day left. If you want to come to the evening with Larry Elder, get your tickets right now. AM870.info veterans. You save 25% on your order. You just look for the link on the AM870 website. Larry Elder will be there could be presidential announcement, guys. AM870.info. Get your tickets. It'll be tomorrow night in Glendale at the Embassy Suites. Really looking forward to seeing all of you there. All right, that's going to do it for us. Make it a great Tuesday. It's 9 o'clock.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.